in your step. Try this on for size.
It's pop.
Tastes great. It makes you feel kind of funny. Not here. Not down there, but all up in this area.
Hello, welcome back to Pop After Dark. I'm Nick, and on this episode, as you can hear, manically laughing in the background, Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed you, man. We haven't actually, I mean, we just started talking before the recall, but we've not spoken for a good few weeks now.
I know, and that's absolutely diminishing the show quality as well.
Oh, so you heard my solo show. Well, you know, I had to do something. Maybe, I don't know.
You're the one that told me I'm co-hosting this son of a bitch with you.
Yeah, here you are.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I could have been here. We could have been speaking about this fucking dumpster fire weeks ago.
Well, ish. I mean, I saw it and then you went away.
Yeah, so but I'd already seen. But I could have sat on my balcony and trashed that thing with the security people downstairs just laughing at me the whole time. That would have been great.
Right. See, if I'd realised that, we would have recorded this last week. But it doesn't matter because as well as Dark Phoenix, in that time, I've also seen Men in Black. Internationally,
yes.
So I'll get to talk about that a bit later on. But
you've hurt yourself again since seeing Dark Phoenix.
I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I mean, yeah, pretty much. But
I'm intrigued, and you can go into spoilers with me because I'm probably not going to.
Yeah, I'm
not.
I mean, well, Alex, it all become revealed. But Dark Phoenix. Now, this is a film we talked about. The last time we was together about it, you know, it was coming out and we were both probably going to see it. And I actually had tickets booked for the first day, couldn't bother to go. So I didn't. And you, as you said, you went opening night and you're like, you need to go and see this. And what I like the most is on the way there, you messaged me and went, you know what? You know, I've heard some good things from some people that I trust. So, you know, I think you might be all right.
No, I didn't say that. You need to reread what I did say. I said people that I trusted said we'll get great content out of it. That didn't mean it was good.
Right, that okay.
It was so bad we were going to sit here and trash the living shit out of it, is what it actually meant. But you didn't want me to tell you what I thought.
Fair enough.
I chose my words carefully, and if you took from we'll get great content out of it that being good, then I'm sorry.
I mean, to be fair, we've had a lot of interaction about other people since then, so that's why I wasn't so fresh on it then. I thought, however, now X-Men Dark Phoenix, so you Oh, yeah, you did say we're going to get good content. So you went to see it opening night. How busy was it opening night?
There were 16 people there.
Okay, I mean, that's not good news, is it, really? That's not a good indication.
At 8:30 p.m. opening night.
And, I mean, to be honest, I mean, obviously since that's taken place, we have seen it crash and burn at the box office.
Oh, God,
so,
yeah.
You know,
I couldn't be happier about that.
Well, I don't think Simon Kinberg, or whatever his name is, who was the idiot that directed this? Yeah, Simon
Kinberg.
Yeah,
it was him.
Who now is 0-2 on this particular story.
Yeah. And I can't believe after The Last Stand, well, the only reason that Kinberg's directed it is because Jennifer Lawrence had such pull with the studio that she fucking demanded it.
Yeah, I know, which I don't understand. What's she like about him so much?
It's not that she liked him. This is my opinion, of course, but it's that she's been trying to get out of that franchise for a while, and she thought, well, fucking, I might as well take the whole thing down with me.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I did read that she said she wasn't going to do the film unless he come back, because I didn't realise all the contracts were up after Apocalypse.
Did you not see how fucking badly she phoned it in? I mean, look, every scene that she was in makeup, she had a full body jumpsuit on so that they could just make up her face. And otherwise, if she didn't have a full body jumpsuit on, she was a fucking human.
Yes. Yeah, they really did cut back on the actual look of Mystique in this film.
That's her. That's not the studio. That's not Simon Kinberg.
Of course it is. I wonder sometimes when you get people like her doing a studio film like this and a genre film like this about a character who you know because she was basically playing, well, she was playing the younger version of a character that had been in three films with the exact same makeup. What you're getting yourself into. Like, this isn't a big shock to you. You should know this before you take this role. And to kind of then take the role and then moan about it for the next, like, 7 years or how long it's been since First Class came out, I just don't understand.
I don't understand the appeal of that woman, to be fair. Those Hunger Games movies were fucking awful.
Well, I only saw the first one and I was like, oh, I like this better when it was called Battle Royale, and just didn't bother with the others, to be honest.
Yeah, I like this better when it was called Battle Royale and wasn't a teen drama about relationships.
Exactly. But anyway, so you went to see it, you insisted that I went to see it, which is fine. You know, I made you go and see Aladdin. I did make you go and see it because I thought it was much better than it had any right to be.
I quite enjoyed it. As anybody, the six people that listen to our show would know, I quite actually enjoyed Aladdin.
You know what? The only person so far that I've recommended it to who didn't like it was my wife. She really didn't like it. I was really surprised.
I was going to say, we can't actually recommend anything to Craig because he don't listen to us.
That's debatable. We'll see what happens. I'll probably get an angry text message from him tomorrow. I do listen to it. Yeah, but but yeah. So you know, I did take one for the.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he doesn't listen to us, as in he doesn't listen to our show. I know he listens to our show.
Yeah,
I'm saying
he doesn't listen.
Stay on board and tells us to fuck off.
Yeah. Well, you know, when he's done that, it's been deserved. We're not going to go into that onto this podcast. But I'd only recently seen Apocalypse, and I'd put off seeing Apocalypse because, frankly, when the trailers came out for it, it didn't look very interesting. I didn't like the look of Apocalypse or Ivan Ooze.
Ivan Ooze,
As he really was in that film. And I like Oscar Isaac, but he just might as well have not been in this film.
But then you're a Last Jedi apologist.
I've seen him in some good films, like Ex Machina, I think he's very good in.
Which I, once again, not bothered watching.
No, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I just didn't see the point of him being in it, and he wasn't particularly good, but I didn't blame him. I thought the script was awful, frankly.
Bryan Singer like about to be absolutely dumb for touching
his... he didn't know that at the time, I don't think. I thought he was still sweeping it under the carpet. It was only during Bohemian Rhapsody that it all came flooding out. I mean, those rumours have been bubbling under the surface for years and years. I've heard about him for early 2000s rumours about him and that stuff. So, you know.
Well, the thing is, you know, I'm not going to fucking defend anybody, but I don't believe much anymore. Like, I believe he's probably a wrong'un.
Oh, I don't think there's any shadow.
I don't think there's any shadow that anybody in Hollywood isn't. They're all wrong'uns.
Yes, but for legal purposes, that's just an opinion.
And everyone except Keanu Reeves.
Who is the greatest man in the world. Yeah, and everyone should agree to that as well. But anyway, so I'd seen Apocalypse recently. I thought it was as poor as I thought it was going to be. I had hopes for this film just because Dark Phoenix, the Phoenix Saga, it is, you know, one of the, you know, classic X-Men stories.
Can't be done in film, though.
Well, obviously not, because they've gone 0 for 2, and Simon Kinberg's been involved in both of them. And leading up to this film...
The thing is, how much of this was Simon Kinberg's fault? Because I will jump in front of you here. This was supposed to be two films. This was written as two films, and the studio, at the very last minute, as sets were being built, told him to cut it down to one. So, you know, like I say...
Yeah, you could have said it. You know, if you're told that, you can change it to leave it on a cliffhanger or something and hope for the best.
But you can't leave it on a cliffhanger because it's the last ever Fox X-Men film.
They did not know that at the time. Because this was way before the Disney thing. You know, there might be like musings about it, but it was way before that had even started. Because, I mean, when was this filmed? Was it 2017?
Yeah, 2017. But then the Fox Disney merger has been bubbling under the surface since about 2015.
No.
Yeah, yes, because it was mid to late 2017 when they made their first offer, and then was it NBC? Was it or is it Comcast?
Comcast
tried to undercut them, and then. Contracts all had to be changed, and it all went back to the shareholders. There was a lot done, and then the closing time was almost a year.
No, I mean that obviously takes a bit of time, but no, I'm not having it. At the end of the day, you know, whether the studio told you that or not, he had the second bite at the cherry on this one. I just don't think the film is particularly good. And I'll tell you, do you know what my biggest problem with this series of films? Particularly good,
it's the worst one yet.
Pardon?
It's the worst one yet. It's not even particularly good.
I don't agree. I actually think Apocalypse is probably worse. But that's
to definitively tell you are wrong.
You can tell me I'm wrong, but you're wrong. You're telling me that I'm wrong. But... my biggest problem with this series of films, right, and we'll go through these, right? So, you know, first X-Men I liked. X-Men 2, well, arguably
first
better.
The first X-Men is responsible for the wave of comic book films we've had since. When that film hit at the box office, that opened up the world.
I, to an extent, you're right, but I think it was really Spider-Man.
Yeah, but Spider-Man would never have got made.
What do you mean? It was getting made at the same time as X-Men was getting made.
Weren't they a good couple of years apart?
No, Spider-Man came out in 2002. It got delayed because of 9/11. Because if you remember, the first teaser trailer for Spider-Man was
at the Twin Towers.
Yeah, he put a web out between the Twin Towers. And that had come out, I think the trailer for that had come out in the summer.
Yeah,
that year, before that had happened, so Spider-Man was in development around the same time as X-Men. Fox just wanted to get their film out first, and they were right to do so. But I mean, look, regardless, X-Men, Spider-Man, they were the catalysts, and I still think X-Men holds up. It's not
I think
the best
X-Men
but...
2. X-Men 2 has the greatest opening scene to a comic book movie to date.
I mean, look, X-Men 2, and I've not watched it for quite a while, but I mean, X-Men 2 took the first X-Men film and improved it, which actually is exactly what Spider-Man did as well.
Spider-Man 2 is probably one of the best comic book films ever made.
And I'd argue that has a better opening sequence, but anyway.
I disagree. I'd say that that Nightcrawler opening sequence of X-Men 2 is just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good introduction to a character which has always been a bit of a bit part and played by Alan Cumming. Who'd have thunk it? But X3 and Spider-Man 3, funny enough, is where the wheels came off of both of those franchises. And X-Men 3 The Last Stand gave us Vinnie Jones as Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm, the Juggernaut bitch.
I'm the Juggernaut bitch. still amazing casting, and as you've just proved, a line that I think most will still say in our everyday lives. I mean, the story was all over the place. Again, it's the same as this film. It's based around a Dark Phoenix saga. It doesn't do a particularly good job of doing it. There were a lot of issues with it.
What it did with the Dark Phoenix saga in X3 is it actually made it a side story. It was the main story of X3 was about the cure.
Yeah, you're right. And the thing is, X2 had led up to this, the next film's going to be Dark Phoenix because of how that film ended. And yes, you're right. That was probably its biggest downfall, is that it was kind of used as a subplot rather than the main story. I mean, now that film was plagued with all sorts of problems. They lost the... Bryan Singer went off to do Superman Returns, didn't he?
That film was fucking garbage.
Still never seen it. And
it's just Lex Luthor doing a land scam again.
there's something there. I mean, there was lots of problems. You know, Brett Ratner got dragged in at the last minute. You know, poor casting, all that stuff. Just not a good film. And
I remember when I saw X3 at the cinema, I had a half bottle of Jack Daniels and a KFC.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least you had a good time. Just not watching the film. And then it went a bit dormant, and then they were going to do all these solo films, weren't they? And they made X-Men Origins Wolverine.
That was the worst one until Dark Phoenix came out.
You know what? There were bits in that film that I like, but it also gave us the first version of Deadpool, which... It's remarkable we ever got a proper Deadpool film afterwards, to be honest.
They sewed his mouth shut.
Just incredible. Oh, and gave him Baraka arms from Mortal Kombat. In fact, that's what they turned him into. They turned him into Baraka from Mortal Kombat. Just awful. And it gave us, of course, Will.i.am. For no reason whatsoever. But it gave us, you know, a good version of the Blob. So that's what I mean. There were some good things in it. But... I mean, that film wasn't great. And then that was supposed to lead to a Magneto film and others. And then that never happened because they realised that Wolverine film was very good. And then we got X-Men First Class.
Which was a soft reboot.
Well, it was nice in that it went back to the kind of origins of the X-Men comics in that it was set in the late 60s and, you know, that's obviously when the X-Men first started, pre-Wolverine days.
You could tell it was done on a low budget because the CGI was pretty bad.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think what worked was, you know, it had Matthew Vaughn and Jane Goldman, who I think worked really well together. And,
It was a good film. It was okay, yeah. And Days of Future Past was complicated.
I didn't find it complicated, but I really enjoyed it.
I don't know if I enjoyed it. It was okay.
One important difference between X-Men First Class and Days of Future Past is that in Days of Future Past, Michael Fassbender had pretty much nailed his not going into Irish accent. If you watch First Class again, every time he gets angry, he turns Irish. And it's awful. Right? It's just, he just comes across as such bad acting, even though that's his normal voice. So at least again,
he was one of the only actors that I can give any credit to in Dark Phoenix.
Well, in most things, he's into me, to be honest. But yeah, then we had Apocalypse, which didn't do very well, and then we got to here. And my biggest problem with this whole series, so this new series of films, these four films that we've had since First Class, is that, as I said, First Class was set in the 60s. Days of Future Past was set in the early 70s. X-Men Apocalypse was set in, I think, 1981. And then this film, Dark Phoenix, was set in 1992.
And then they'd aged about 5 months.
Yeah, they haven't aged at all. And also, if you want to be an arsehole about it, you know, Michael Fassbender is playing Magneto in 1992, who is played by Sir Ian McKellen in X-Men in 2000.
Well, exactly, and you would think that at this point, 40 years after First Class, you just cast Ian McKellen again.
Yeah, it's just that was the thing that almost annoyed me more than anything else in this film, is that I thought to myself, these films have now taken place over almost 40 years, and none of the characters have aged.
No.
Unless everyone's got the same mutant gene, which doesn't age you, then something's up there. The other thing they did wrong with this film, for me, was Quicksilver. He gets his nice little cameo bit at the beginning of the film. You know, bit where everything slows down around him, and it's all quite funny, and you know, it's all very clever. And then he literally disappears for the whole film.
Yep.
There is no mention of him. No one like does a big poochie and asks where's Quicksilver. He's just not there. And then he's right in the film at the end.
I'm sure Evan Peters was probably off filming last year's season of American Horror Story.
He would be a film insane, I'm sure, for Ryan Murphy. He always is. But
yep.
Regardless, that is bloody stupid. And then there's, and I think you brought this to my attention, the fact that this was filmed in 2017. They were doing reshoots the end of last year.
Yep.
For this film. And from what I've read, about the last third of the film was completely reshot.
Yeah, the whole third act was reshot.
Yeah.
They moved it from space into a fucking train.
Yeah. Now,
because it was, from what I understand, a pretty much identical ending to Captain Where.
Yeah. Captain Marvel, for those that, mention it properly. I actually thought the train bit was one of the better bits of the whole film.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was one of the only interesting bits. I thought the rest of the film was just complete nonsense. Not nonsense, but pointless.
It was boring.
Yeah.
It was a boring film.
Now, there is one thing I did with this film, though. So because I knew, because you told me, that this film was going to blow, I decided I didn't want to give my Cineworld ticket money to Dark Phoenix. So what I did is I ordered a ticket to go and see The Secret Life of Pets 2 because that was starting about 10 minutes before X-Men Dark Phoenix was starting in the 4DX. Now,
right.
I'd look to see how many people were in the 4DX opening weekend of Dark Phoenix on Saturday afternoon. And I mean, 4DX cinemas are not particularly big because of how they have to structure the seats and everything like that. There were four people in that screen. Six by the time the film started. So I just walked in and watched it in 4DX. And didn't pay the upcharge. That improved the film greatly. But not to anywhere near the extent that it was anything other than awful.
Garbage.
But the effects were good. You know, the way the seats moved and everything like that. Lots of fun. But even that
still never disguise... been in a 4DX cinema.
Well, it obviously still didn't disguise just how awful the actual film was. As you said, I think you nailed it on the head, it's just boring. It's boring. Yep. And
the actors, oh my God. You could see how much they hated being in this film. Those performances were so phoned in. I mean, some of them just looked dead behind the eyes.
Well, I mean, you take somebody like James McAvoy. We've already sung Fassbender's praises, so we don't need to mention him anymore. James McAvoy. Now, even if you didn't like it, he's been exceptional in those M. Night Shyamalan films.
Yep.
Right, especially Split, but in Glass as well, really good. He is a really talented actor.
He is.
Professor X is just a boring character. But rather than try and make your own mark on the character, I know he's supposed to be like, you know, a young Patrick Stewart or whatever, but he could do more than he does. His range in this film was just almost non-existent.
He didn't want to be there.
No.
None of them wanted to be there. I mean, Sophie Turner wanted to be there, but then this is one of her breakouts after Game of Thrones, and I'm going to be honest with you, she's not going to go much further if she continues taking roles like this.
Even Nicholas Hoult, who plays Beast, and I mean, you could see the awkwardness between him and Raven or Mystique or whatever you want to call her. Because they used to be a couple. They met on the set of First Class, and they dated for quite a few years. And all of their scenes looked awkward. They did not look like the acting of people that actually felt they had emotional attachments to each other. It was all really robotic. just felt everything about the film was off. I can't think of... I said, like, I quite liked some of the stuff that happened during the train bits. I can't recommend this film to anyone for any reason. And then they decided to use the same ending as they used in The Dark Knight Rises.
It's
almost shot for shot.
It's ridiculous.
It just made no sense.
By the time I got, I don't know if I said it to you on Twitter in Messenger at all, but this is one film where I went to stand up to leave about halfway through, and I thought, no, I've got to do it for our six listeners. I've got to sit down.
It's a rare time that I've wanted to leave a film as well, and it was just because, as you said, it was just boring.
It deserves to fail.
There was nothing else. I was like, I kept looking like, oh, what time's Rocket Man start? I can go and see that again. And it just didn't fit in. I was like, I don't want to really wait around for another like 45 minutes for that to start. But I just thought, like, oh, yeah, it's just awful. So I can't recommend this.
We had to see it through. We had to see it through.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I'm glad that I have seen it just so I know it's awful.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in a way, like, Craig had a go at me for a long time because I would slag off Batman vs. Superman because it was one of his favourite films of all time.
It's and a piece of shit.
Everything I'd seen about it, like, you know, I'm talking about the trailers and, like, you know, certain clips out of context, I was like, this film looks fucking awful. Why are you saying this? And I'm like, I don't really want to give up 3 hours of my life to do this. But he was like, well, you can't really slag it off if you haven't seen it. And I went, you know what? It's a valid point. Right? Maybe I should. I can't have such a strong opinion about something I haven't seen. So I watched it.
And you just wanted to kill Martha.
It was almost... What? Why'd you say that name? It was almost worse than I thought it was. So actually, it would have been better if I hadn't seen it, because then I wouldn't have been justified to feel so much anger towards the film. And then Craig then blamed it on me listening to what everyone else was saying about it and kind of being a sheep. And I'm like,
Craig, if you are listening to this, Batman versus Superman is fucking wank.
He's just the worst. Just the worst. I mean, I've still not seen Suicide Squad because of it. I did see Justice League, I did see Aquaman, and I didn't mind Justice League, and Aquaman is absolute fucking... It's Batman and Superman levels for me.
Anyway, that's
right. Oh, man, I can't wait for... It comes out next month on home release. I can't wait to see it again. But you're right. You know, it was the last one. You wanted to see where it ended. We got through it together. You know, we did it.
We should have really gone together and held hands.
I think one of us would have tried to have killed the other one as a mercy killing, to be honest, had we have done so.
To be honest, there are a lot more reasons to give me a mercy killing, so that might have just tipped it over the edge.
yeah. Maybe we wouldn't have had to have picked straws after all. But speaking of picking straws, talk about the other film that I saw since Dark Phoenix. Because we're gearing up. Toy Story 4 comes out this weekend. You know, I didn't think I would enjoy another film at the cinema this year as much as Hobbs and Shaw. But then I forgot that we've got Toy Story 4 and Spider-Man coming out. So maybe...
And a Chucky reboot.
Nah, not feeling that.
Sorry, Mark Hamill playing Chucky. I'm all in.
Yeah, I know. That's the only good part. Well, actually, Aubrey Plaza's in it as well, but it's got no involvement of the original people involved in Child's Play. They're doing their own spin-off with sci-fi. Yeah.
Are they continuing after Cult then?
Yes. Well, they're working on a TV series.
Because I do enjoy Brad Dourif's portrayal.
Exactly. I mean, everyone likes Mark Hamill, but the fact that... but I was reading about it today. Basically, what's happened is MGM, or United Artists, made the first Child's Play. They got bought out while they were making the second one. The new owners didn't want to make horror films anymore. They went to Universal on the advice of Steven Spielberg, had a meet with Universal, and so they became the home of Child's Play. But they maintained the rights to the original Child's Play film. So because of that, they could go and make a reboot of Child's Play whilst the original director and creator is able to still do his own Chucky stuff with Universal or, you know, with anyone else he decides to partner with. But they can remake the original Child's Play because that's their own, still own film. It's like the Star Wars thing all over again. So, but anyway, I digress. So, last week we saw another big summer release in Men in Black International. There will be spoilers. There will be blood. So the most obvious spoiler, of course, is who the villain is in the film.
I've read nothing.
All right, so let me just read you out who's in this film. In fact, I'll get the cast list up so I can read this out to you. So we've got Chris Hemsworth, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Tessa Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Rafe Spall. Mm-hmm. We've got Emma Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Liam Neeson.
Yep.
We've got Rebecca Ferguson.
Right.
That's probably about it. Kumail Nanjiani does the voice of an alien. So who's the big bad?
Probably Liam Neeson.
Well, there you go. Of course it's fucking Liam Neeson. If Liam Neeson's in a film where he's not playing the main character, he's of course playing the villain undercover. So Men in Black.
It's just fucking Bad Cop and Good Cop, isn't it? It's just a Lego movie.
Yeah. Men in Black International, the excitement for it for me came because it was reuniting Hemsworth with Tessa Thompson again, who was so good in Thor Ragnarok. Had a lot of, you know, good comedy chemistry there. Thor not really known for being the the real comedy bits of the Marvel Universe. Thor Ragnarok obviously shattered that illusion, and they were good value for money. So getting them together, you thought, yeah, in an actual sci-fi comedy, that's going to work. That's going to pay dividends.
Except for then, if you'd heard anything about the problems with this film, behind this film, in production, and people, they've been very upfront about it for a while now, to the point where scenes were being rewritten daily on the day they were shooting them. And Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth appear to have got so fed up to the point they just hired their own writers that they had on set with them.
I didn't see this until this week. I read a few things about it. I hadn't heard about this leading up to it. Otherwise, I'd have seen this problem coming. The biggest crime with Men in Black International is I saw it less than a week ago and I've already forgotten most of the film.
Now, have you got a plot recap up in front of you?
Yeah. And another thing I'll add to this as well is I started watching this at 6 o'clock last Saturday. I was watching it and then I watched about 10-15 minutes of it, knew that the 4DX version was starting. Oh, how many people in the 4DX? I'm going to walk over there. And so I did it again. because if I'm going to watch this film, I'm only going to watch it probably once. I'll do that. So I actually watched the beginning of the film twice, and I still can barely remember.
Come to your cinema.
Well, it's their own fault, because if they show a film in 3D, I will choose the 3D viewing. What they have now started doing is only showing 3D in 4DX. So as long as I'm on the same side as the 4DX, I just walk in.
Well,
stick it to the man.
You've seen the size of my screens in my cinema.
Currently.
They're tiny. Yeah, July 14th, our new cinema opens. Thank Christ. But all of the entrances to all of the rooms, even if we had anything other than regular screens, well, we can show 3D on any of them, but we can't show anything beyond that. All of the entrances are in one central room.
See, that's where you've gone wrong. Wait till your new one. You'll have IMAX one side, 4DX the other side, ScreenX one side as well, and you'll be able to walk in and out as you want. Once you pass the ticket person. So look, the thing is, yes, it's very naughty, and I shouldn't be encouraging it, but you know what? If Cineworld actually bothered to let me see the films in the way that I want to see them without having to deliberately go through a format I don't want to, then I will.
You know what? Being both black unlimited card holders, where you get the free 3D upgrade because we've paid our dues, quite a bit of money to the chain for at least a year, you know, to then just not show in 3D is a bit of a piss take.
I mean, it ultimately is, because all my cinema does now is it will show a film in 3D IMAX or 3D 4DX, and of course they've also got ScreenX, which I just refuse because it looks like a load of shit.
It does.
Every single Toy Story 4 comes out tomorrow. Yes. Only shown in 4DX 3D. Spider-Man Far From Home comes out in a couple of weeks, shown in 4DX 3D, IMAX 3D. Toy Story is in IMAX 3D as well. There's not a single 3D showing of either of those films, and they are like two of the biggest films this summer because they want to pay the premium.
We've got one showing a day of each, of both films. I'm going to see Far From Home in 2D. I've already got my ticket. Because it was just too early. The 3D showing is always the one 3D showing. Like, I've chosen the 10 to 5 showing tomorrow, Toy Story 4, but the kids aren't in bed by then, you know, so I have to go out and leave the wife with the kids. And our son is autistic, and, you know, our daughter's only two, and that is
stuff going. So you asked me about plot. So, right, so film starts off in Paris. You see Chris Hemsworth and Liam Neeson stop an alien attack, effectively, right? Or it looks like they stop an alien attack. Then the main film starts, and it's set in 1996 at the beginning. After this opening scene with Hemsworth and Liam Neeson, it goes back to 1996, and the character of Molly as a young girl, and an alien comes into her house. A dad sees it and says, I don't know what it is, but you know, there's this thing, we need to call the police. They call the police, but the men in black turn up, talk to them outside the house and say, oh, you know, you haven't seen anything, look into this, give them the old neuralizer
flashy thing.
And for some reason, even though she's looking at it, it doesn't affect her. And this alien is in her room and she kind of befriends it and likes, it's like, you've got to get away from here, and off it goes. And then it cuts to the present day when she's obviously a full grown adult, and all she does is applies for the FBI, the CIA, trying to get into this secret division that she's seen but doesn't know what it's called. And she's tracking, you know, meteorites and stuff like that. She accidentally discovers a force field which is covering up an alien crash which just happened, and then she kind of follows the men in black back to their HQ in New York, and she infiltrates it, gets caught by Emma Thompson, convinces Emma Thompson to give her a go by buttering her up, basically, and then that's it. She gets dressed up, and she gets tagged along with Chris Hemsworth, and they go on an adventure in London and Morocco, and you know, Tessa Thompson's told, or sorry, Molly is told, Agent M now, that they think there's a mole in the Men in Black International in London, and you know, she needs to see if she can find that out. And standard sci-fi comedy occurs. Liam Neeson's revealed to be, you know, controlled by an alien, and yeah, save the day. She pisses off back to New York. Hemsworth stays in London. That's the film.
Sounds shit.
The problem with the film, I mean, I'll be completely honest. I do not rate the Men in Black franchise as much as a lot of people. I thought the first film had its moments, but I don't love it. I only watched about 25 minutes of the second one. Because I could see
nobody
likes
the second one.
And I went to cinema to see the third one because the wife wanted to go and see it. And I actually quite like the third one, mainly because
the third one's okay.
Josh Brolin does such a good Tommy Lee Jones impression. And he's Josh Brolin. So, you know, I don't love this franchise, but I did.
We do forgive Josh Brolin for the remake of Old Boy, by the way.
I've still not seen the remake of Old Boy. But
need to see it.
Well, from the people that I know that have seen it, they have said it's not as bad as you think it's going to be, but it's obviously not as good as the original, which is
it's
a spectacular
bad.
Film. That original one is something else. I watched that without knowing anything about it, and it's pretty mind-blowing. But yeah, so, you know, I think now that it's come out that there was all these problems with the scripts, and apparently, you know, Sony kind of just like, almost as soon as they'd signed on to it, had decided that it wasn't going to be any good, and so they kind of washed their hands with it and didn't really pay attention to what was going on. Again, like I said earlier, you know, how can two people that had such great chemistry in a film, you know, less than 2 years ago, have almost no chemistry in another film? That comes down to two things, the direction and the script.
Yep.
F. Gary Gray has, I knew of him because he directed Beetle,
right,
which was the sequel to Get Shorty. I've got a very special affiliation with that film, even though I know the film's not great, but it's still quite an important film in my life. Okay. And he's gone and done, you know, a few other, you know, pretty good films. Did some good films before it. Did one of the Fridays, if I remember rightly. And he did Fate of the Furious, which was
the latest one.
Yeah, which was one of the more fun entries. Wasn't one of the best entries, but you know, definitely.
Yeah,
a
but
lot
even
of fun moments.
even that film. We go back to when we were talking about Dark Phoenix and Nicholas Hoult and Jennifer Lawrence not wanting to be around each other. Even that film, you could tell that Vin Diesel and The Rock did not want to be anywhere near one another.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's going to be interesting how that plays out in the next one.
Well, yeah.
Not the next, because I mean, obviously the next one won't have Vin Diesel in it. That's Hobbs and Shaw, but the next Fast and Furious film.
Yeah, Hobbs and Shaw is probably going to be so funny.
Oh, I can't wait. I honestly, I love Statham anyway. I love The Rock. It just looks like it's going to be such a fun, stupid film. I really cannot wait. Yep. I'll tell you what else he's done.
With Idris Elba on board as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He did direct Friday, I was right. Did Beagle, Straight Out of Compton, Fate of the Furious, The Italian Job. Which
what, the remake?
Seen. Yeah. And I've got to say, the guy's only 49 years old. I actually quite like The Italian Job remake.
Didn't that have Mark Wahlberg in it?
Yeah.
Get in the bin.
But what I liked about it is that it wasn't a remake of The Italian Job, in as much as, you know, I think one of the throwaway lines in it when they're talking about what they're going to do is, oh, so it's going to be like that film, The Italian Job.
Oh.
So it's not a straight up remake. It's almost referencing the fact that it's using the same plot device as an actual film. Anyway, I liked it for what it was. It wasn't amazing, but it wasn't as bad as you'd think it should be. But anyway, regardless, he's obviously someone that needed a bit of control and just didn't get it on this set.
Well, but then at the same time, look at his body of work, right? If you look back at his body of work, F. Gary Gray, what about that body of work screams you're going to direct a Men in Black film?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know. Fate of the Furious, really. It's a big tentpole franchise, isn't it?
It's a big tentpole franchise, I agree, but they're in completely different genres.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is it? I mean, summer blockbuster, isn't it? Really?
So, well, genre is comedy and sci-fi. I mean, sure, he did Friday, and that's ultimately a comedy, I guess.
Cool.
I've not seen it. I might have seen it. I don't know.
It's got a really... The best bit of Be Cool is when The Rock does a performance scene from Bring It On.
Really? Oh, yeah, I've not seen this.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Just look that up on YouTube. Save yourself the other hour and a half. It's not an awful film, but it's not important that you haven't seen it. But look, regardless, the fact is, as you said, there's a lot of problems with this behind the scenes. We've seen that a few times this year. Hellboy, Dark Phoenix, like we just said.
Paid the money and done the Men in Black Jump Street crossover.
Yep.
It was all because one of the producers wanted a first money out clause in his contract was the reason that didn't happen.
Right.
Interesting. And they should have just fucking paid the money and done it, because I think it could have been great.
Yeah. It's not done great. It opened with 37 million in America. 112 opening globally. It's going to have to gross an estimated 300 just to break even. And now it's got Toy Story and Spider-Man in the next 3 weeks.
Dead.
Yeah.
It's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, if I just look at I looked at the listings for My Cinema tomorrow. There's 13 showings of Toy Story. There's one showing of Men in Black.
Jesus. It's only been out a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just announced that Endgame is being re-released next weekend as well.
Is it coming next weekend? Because I've not found any listing times for it yet.
28th of June.
Yep.
And there won't be any listings yet because they've literally just announced it. And also they haven't actually confirmed if that's a worldwide release or if that's just the US.
I think they will release it wide.
Oh, of course they will do. They're 40 million short of beating Avatar. Of course that's going global. That's the reason they're doing it.
They want the money. But ultimately, I will go and see it again, because why the fuck not?
Oh, if you think I am going to sit in a cinema for 3 hours again to watch Avengers Endgame just so I can see 7 minutes of additional footage at the end of that film, then you're spot on. You know me very, very well. Because of course I'll be doing that. As you will be, as you said.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because why the fuck not? Yeah. I mean, I might even, you know, I don't know. I might even think about going to see Men in Black and then going, no.
You know what you should do? See if you can find times it's on at the same time and go and see Endgame and actually go in and watch Rocket Man, because that's the film everyone should be watching actually instead.
I mean, I tell you what, I am tempted to see tomorrow night as well. I'm tempted to just stay at the cinema after Toy Story and go see Brightburn.
Yeah, I was very excited about Brightburn, but no one I know that's seen it has said it's really worth venturing out for.
But the only reason I might see it is because it does start about 20 minutes after Toy Story finishes. Yeah. So
you're there. Yeah, you're going to be there. I would do the same if I was you. I probably won't see it until it comes on streaming, but we'll see. I'm interested, and I will be interested to hear your take on it. But yeah. So anyway, Men in Black.
What else have we got coming this month?
Nothing. That's it. You know.
Shaft. We went for a list of them, didn't we, for the whole year?
Yeah, Shaft. Shaft just came out in America. I don't know when we get over here.
Do you know why I am going to see that?
Why?
Because everybody that would give it woke points hates it.
Ah, right. Okay.
So if it's getting shut down by the woke brigade, it means it's probably good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, actually, to be fair, the reviews haven't been awful. It just hasn't lit the box office up.
Well, actually, if you have a look on Rotten Tomatoes, go look at it right now on Rotten Tomatoes and look at the disparity between the critics and the audience scores.
Hmm. Just looking up now. Yeah, I've just got to find a time to go and see Rocket Man again. I still cannot talk about. I did talk about how great I thought that film was, but
I just don't like biopics.
But that's why this is so good. It's not like a biopic, even though it is a biopic. It's nothing like a biopic.
I don't know. I need convincing.
Not. Listen to the episode before this one. It's me talking about it for 20 minutes on my own.
Yeah. On your own, without me. Did you record it while I was on holiday?
I recorded it yesterday or Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, that was it.
So I've been home.
Had you seen it?
No, I hadn't seen Rocky Man, but we could have done this Dark Phoenix Men in Black one as well.
But I hadn't reached out to you at that point. I cannot say. I think I'm on the UK version, that's why. Shaft. Not Shaft in Africa. Ah. Oh. 33% rotten.
And then look at the audience.
Jesus Christ.
What's the disparity?
95%.
Yep.
So why did the critics take it?
So the critics don't like it for how woke it's not. That for look a lot of the reviews, they call it sexist. They call it racist, in fact. A lot of people do. And then the audience themselves are going and just seeing, from what I can understand, a straight-up fun film.
Tim Story's update of the Blaxploitation classic is shamelessly aggressive. Now dinosaurs again walk the earth with misogynist, I can never pronounce that word.
Misogynist.
That's the one. I pronounced it completely wrong. And homophobic impunity. These are the last folks. Don't be surprised they stick in your throat. This movie's ruined your childhood bad, right down to the hideous auto-tune and end credit song they choose to use instead of the original theme from Shaft. Wow.
Now look, go and read a couple of the audience remarks.
It's an action movie with lots of action. The characters are relatively funny. If you like the movie, you'll love this one too. It was an excellent movie. Really enjoyed it. Refreshing. Never mind the PC, he's Shaft. Well, I can see why you want to go and see it. Man, that's funny. That is really funny.
From what I understand, I will see this film and might even be able to forgive him for being in Captain Marvel.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Well,
I know how much you hate that film, even though obviously you're wrong.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, you always say that, but let's be honest, you always say that.
Yeah, I always say that because it's true.
In your mind? Yeah, of course. And in my mind, Captain Marvel's flawed, but it's not the levels of Dark Phoenix or Men in Black International, so let's all be grateful for that.
I'll give you that. It's not as bad as Dark Phoenix.
And that is a perfect way to end this episode. So, Ben, thank you. And the good news is the next time that we reconvene, it'll be once we've seen Toy Story 4.
And I'll probably still be in tears by the sound of things.
That's what I'm hearing as well. I remember going to Toy Story 3 and we saw that in 3D. when that was, you know, all you could see films in. That's when 3D was.
We saw it in 3D a month before its release in a tent in Glastonbury.
Nice.
Yes.
We saw it opening night, and I remember getting so upset at the end of that film. I was glad I was wearing 3D glasses. It didn't make it that obvious.
I'm quite tempted. I've got a second ticket that I was going to offer to a friend, but I'm quite tempted to just go alone, sit at the back.
I think it's the wisest way.
I've already seen
Endgame with the wife this year, so she's already seen me pretty messed up. The didn't see me watching Endgame the first time. I mean, I was ugly.
Chris Franklin during Disney Dreams?
No, but not that far off. Yeah, I was a mess. And then it got worse because I was all stuffed up and I didn't have my medicine with me, so I couldn't breathe. So I just made it even worse. So it was just a horrible experience.
You went so early in the morning as well.
I know. It was a big mistake. But anyway. Toy Story 4. Hours away, people. So yeah. Ben, thank you very much. And we will see you on another episode of Pop Off Dark very soon, because we'll be talking about it bloody quickly.
Yes, I hope so. I think we should probably record Saturday.
Might be possible. Let's see.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's check the old schedules.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.